Well, it says it right there in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a season for everything, a time for tears, a time for laughter, a time for mourning, a time for dancing. It's a Bible verse that Father Robert Verek takes to heart. He is the pastor of St. Ignatius Church and Boston College's Jesuit Artist in Residence. And if that last title strikes you as a little odd, consider what Ecclesiastes says. There is a time for everything, even dancing, which happens to be Father Van Eyck's specialty. He joins me now in the studio ahead of the premiere of one of his signature pieces of the year, something called Christmas Reflections. Father, thanks so much for being with us on Boston Public Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Andrew.
So, this piece that you've choreographed, and I should say you're the choreographer, you're the sort of person behind it, putting it together, Christmas Reflections. You've done this for a few years now, but this is sort of a scaled back version of something you've done for decades.
Yes, yeah.
Which is called A Dancer's Christmas. Why don't you talk through a little bit about what these pieces are, how they came about?
I think it was in 1980 that I began A Dancer's Christmas at Boston College with some Boston College students and alumni. And eventually that grew into a Boston holiday tradition for 28 years with professional dancers from Boston and from New York and from different places. And for me, the challenge artistically and spiritually was to communicate the true meaning of Christmas. And so I created A Dancer's Christmas, which was a three-act major choreography. The first act had to, basically, was the telling of the familiar Christmas story. The second act always used the music of the Boston Camerata, either their medieval or Renaissance music, and I would kind of write the story, telling the story of Christmas in that context. And then the third act used familiar Christmas carols. And over the 28 years, I would change things, but essentially the structure of the piece was that three-act structure.
Okay, and so you did that for years and years and years, and then how come it came to an end a few years back?
Because it was perfect, I think. It was
you had finally achieved perfection.
Yes, I mean, I had dancers, for example, like Andy LeBeau from the Paul Taylor Company, other dancers from major companies working with me, and it was... After a while, it became very difficult to mount the production, very expensive. And also, since we weren't a company that rehearsed all the time, we would bring dancers in. Just trying to coordinate all of that made it very, very difficult. Mm. And also, I just had a sense of satisfaction. It was like I thought I had said through dance everything I could possibly say about Christmas.
That's quite an achievement. I
mean, yeah, it was for 28 years.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So it went away, and yet you sort of end up reviving it, at least on some level. How come?
Basically, when I told the cast that we were finishing A Dancer's Christmas, there's a children's cast, and they were heartbroken. And I saw the look of disappointment and the tears on their faces, and sometimes they call me Sobby Bobby, so I gave in and said...
Wait, why do they call you Sobby Bobby?
Because I cry very easily. So I decided, I said to them, okay, I'm going to see what we can do, and it won't be on the scale of A Dancer's Christmas, but I thought about it, prayed about it, reflected on it, and one of the neat things was that a colleague of mine, she had danced in A Dancer's Christmas. She's an Irish step dancer, a championship Irish step dancer, who runs a school in West Roxbury, and her mm-hmm. name is Helen O'Dwyer. And so I spoke with her, and I said, I'm thinking of doing something next year, kind of a smaller version of Dancer's Christmas. Would you be interested in having your company, your students dance? And she said, yeah, she would be. So that's... gave me the opportunity to pursue the possibility of Christmas Reflections, which I call kind of a miniature version of Dancer's Christmas. Mm. It has that three-part structure. The first part is the familiar stories of Christmas, of the birth of Jesus and the shepherds and angels. The second part is basically Christmas in Ireland, and then the third part is some of the favorites from A Dancer's Christmas. And the way I hold it all together is with a narrator who is the gospel writer Luke in the first part, who is a character named Seamus, which is shameless, of course, but Seamus from Ireland, and then himself as the narrator in the third section. So it's the narrator that kind of holds it all together, because from one point of view, it's all about Christmas, but it's much more eclectic than A Dancer's Christmas was.
Yeah. I'm talking with Father Robert Varek. He is the pastor of St. Ignatius Church and Boston College's Jesuit artist in residence. He is the spiritual and dance advisor and man behind A Dancer's Christmas for years at Boston College, and now a show called Christmas Reflections. Father, we have some of the music that you're going to be using, and I'm wondering, I think one of the things that pops into people's heads immediately when they hear about the idea that there's a priest who's choreographing dance pieces, they wonder what kind of dance it is. So I'm thinking maybe we could listen to some music right now, and as we hear a few of these pieces, maybe you could talk us through what kind of dancing we might see. So I want to start with a piece which is called Dancing Day Part 2, Tomorrow Shall Be My Dancing Day. This is one of the pieces that you use in your show, Christmas Reflections. Let's hear a little. So what might we see here, Father?
Well, actually, Tomorrow Will Be My Dancing Day is a medieval piece of text music that gives this image of God dancing with creation, God who is so in love with creation that God just desires to dance. So visually, I have one young man who happens to be someone who has Down syndrome, who is a remarkably gifted dancer, who's worked with me for about 10 years now. And he's the featured dancer. He kind of embodies this sense of the joy of dance and the spiritual aspect of it. Then rest of the company members, there are seven women in green and red. You know, can you figure? You know, red and green for Christmas.
Where did you come up with those colors, green and red?
I don't know. It was just it was
a moment of inspiration from God himself.
It was an epiphany, actually. So Tomorrow Shall Be My Dancing Day just expresses the sheer joy of dance. But the text keeps saying, this have I done for my true love, for my true love. And it's just a beautiful medieval text that says, frankly, to me, much more about who God is rather than and God's loving relationship with the world rather than this some other sense of God who needs to be, you know, atoned to or whatever.
Yeah. And the dancing itself, is it sort of ballet dancing?
That would be, yes. That particular piece would be strongly balletic. Mm. Yeah. But not, it uses a ballet vocabulary, but it's not on point.
Yeah.
Whereas one of the other pieces we may listen to is with the angel. I always put angels on point because I think angels should be on point.
A little bit higher than everybody else,
exactly.
Right? They're a little bit higher in the sky. Right. Gabriel's Message, that's a piece that you use with angels. Let's hear a little of that music right now. Gabriel's Message, another one of the pieces of music that we'll be hearing during Christmas Reflections. Feels a little bit more heavenly, right?
Yes, yeah.
So this would be ballet dancers up on point.
Yeah, this is at the beginning of Christmas Reflections, which Luke starts to tell the story of the angel Gabriel coming to visit Mary and to announce these good tidings that she will be with child. And so Mary, of course, is the featured person, dancer. She's not on point. She's in bare feet. But Gabriel and all the other angels who surround her would be on point with, and, you know, so I can use very flowing balletic movement. And the ballet dancers, the classical dancers, are very gifted and quite beautiful as they express this.
Father, how did you get to the point where you were using dance so strongly in your work? I mean, I think that it's striking to hear that, you know, we have a priest who's so versed in dancing and for whom dancing is such a seemingly important part of their life. How did that happen? It seems unusual.
I guess it would be considered unusual, but I was as a child, I was somebody who just loved to dance. I made up dances. I learned the Lindy when I was five.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Floral Park, Long Island.
Okay.
My parents were opera singers, so we had music and performance in the house. But because it was the 1950s, I didn't have a chance to formally study dance. But I just had this kind of innate gift for creating dances, which I did through my high school years. And then ironically, of all places, I got my formal dance training after entering the Jesuit order, which was absolutely unexpected of the existence of God. I mean, so like Thomas Aquinas, I have a better proof of the existence of God.
How did that happen? Is this something that Jesuits do?
Yeah, Jesuits have been, since their inception, been very involved in all in the arts and humanities and sciences. You know, there are Jesuit astronomers and mathematicians and playwrights and architects and painters. And the Jesuits actually, in their schools in the 16th and 17th century, 17th and 18th century, dance was a part of the curriculum. And some of those Jesuit priests wrote some of the dance manuscripts that we have today. So when I was in my training as a Jesuit, it was just around the time 1970 when the Jesuits were rediscovering their historical roots in the arts, and there was an Institute of Jesuit Artists from around the world that took place in Santa Clara, California, and I went to that primarily to do theater because that's where I was. That's what I really thought my call was, to act and direct, and I had a chance to take a ballet class, and it was an epiphany. It was like, why haven't I been doing this all my life? And so the Jesuits were open enough to let me study dance. For a year or so, I did nothing but study dance because I came to it in relatively late in my 20s. So the combination of having an instinctive sense of choreography and movement, when I finally got the technical background, I was able to combine both of those things, and that's when I started choreographing. I've been very flattered by a lot of professional dancers who just love to work with me and love...
Not bad.
It's not bad at all. Yeah.
So, has it been a difficult path? And I mean this in this sense. It seems like the Catholic religion and music have a very strong relationship, and it seems very uncomplicated. It seems, but dancing and the Catholic faith seems to be a little bit more complex. You don't necessarily see dancing normally in services. There are some who say that the Catholics. Faith has a complex relationship with the body, with the physical body, with expressing things with the physical body. Has that proved difficult for you, either as a priest or as somebody who's moving with a flock of people who are of this Catholic faith?
Right. Yeah, it certainly has been challenging, and I've been involved with it for more than 30 years. But it is interesting, you don't want to generalize about the Catholic faith because, in fact, if you went to the Catholic Mass in Africa or different places around the world, dance would be a very vital part of that service. Most of what we talk about is in kind of the European culture. There's a real reticence to you use the body, but as a form of prayer and worship. The irony of the thing is that the Catholic faith, in terms of its ritual, is one of the most highly choreographed ritual. If you go to, for centuries, if you went to a Latin Mass, you would see this very elaborate choreography because it was very much more performance. But by its nature, the Catholic service has movement. It has procession. It has a different use of gesture and bodily posture and all of that. So in a sense, it has been described as a dance, but because of that relative discomfort with the body and some of the kind of the historical reticence to really affirm the body in its in with its potential for expression. Mm. It's, you know, it's created some problems. So that a lot of people, like at St. Ignatius, for example, for some special occasions like Christmas Eve and Palm Sunday and Easter Vigil, these very special occasions, I'll incorporate dance movement into the worship. Mm. Most people who go to St. Ignatius expect it by now.
Yeah.
But some people are like, well, what's all that about? You know, but
at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. But then when you enter into conversation with people and you say, well, if you look at the whole picture, if you know, there's movement happening all the time and there's rhythmic movement happening all the time, it's a matter of making sure that everything is well integrated and it's not something that it really stands out as something that is not part of the ritual. Did I answer your question?
I think so. I think okay. That was not too all right. bad. I'm talking with Father Robert Varek. He is the pastor of St. Ignatius Church here in Boston, and he's Boston College's Jesuit artist in residence. His specialty is choreography, dancing, and he does a show every year, which is coming up this weekend, Christmas Reflections now. This is fourth or fifth year you've done this now?
This is the fourth year, yeah.
So the fourth year for Christmas Reflections, and we're talking about that. We're talking about dancing. We're talking about marrying dancing and spirituality, religion. And there's an interesting dichotomy, spirituality versus religion. You see a lot of people make a distinction between the two.
Right.
Do you feel like when you're choreographing, do you feel like when you're dancing, when you're moving, are you expressing something religious? Are you expressing something spiritual? Are you furthering you know, the work of God, the word of God?
Hmm. Well, I think so, because I've made some deliberate choices, as a choreographer. I certainly have, over the years, you know, choreographed musicals, I've choreographed pieces that have no specific religious content.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my work has been taking the stories of the scriptures, of the Hebrew Christian scriptures, and choreographing them in a way, expressing them in a way through movement and dance and music. For me, the most important part of my ministry is this principle of integration. How do I take those very core spiritual religious experiences of faith, of trust in God, of you know, the struggles that we have in life or whatever, and use that the choreographic palette to be able to express those quotes mysteries of faith.
Yeah, can you go places with dance or theater or arts in general? Can you express things or get at things or connect with people in a way that you couldn't with mere words or, you know, in a homily during a mass?
Yeah. Yeah. I offer a 2-week summer program in sacred and liturgical dance at Boston College. And these people who do it have a variety of backgrounds when they come to do this. And what I have found is that we give people a vocabulary of expressing their inner feelings and their religious experience in a movement language that they cannot find words for. Just briefly, one experience that I had teaching that, we had a number of people who were from the L'Arche community, and the L'Arche community is a people who have severe handicaps and people who live with them and work with them. And we had two young people who were in wheelchairs and whose ability to move their bodies was very, very restricted. So they would work with these partners and they would work in the wheelchairs and everything. But it was so clear to me the desire to express that dance and movement gave people a language for self-expression that was not possible to happen verbally.
Well, there you have it. Reasons to Dance with Father Robert Verek. You can see Christmas Reflections this weekend. There's a show tonight, and then afternoon shows on Saturday and Sunday.
Tonight is sold out, so there are no tickets for that.
So plan for the weekend if you can, Saturday, Sunday afternoon. It's at Boston College's Robsham Theater Arts Center. You can find links to tickets and more information on our website. That's wgbhnews.org. Father Bob, the creative and spiritual force behind Christmas Reflections, Jesuit artist in residence at Boston College, thank you for taking the time to be with us today on Boston Public Radio. Coming up, Callie Crossley takes us under the radar for a look at the hyper-local stories you might have missed this week. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and you are listening to Boston Public Radio.